Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we have a good news coming up. We also have a good sports coming up. First, quick piece of business. LifeLock, data breaches, they keep coming. DoorDash, the food delivery service was breached, affecting up to 4.9 million users. Zynga, maker of Words with Friends, was breached, possibly exposing hundreds of millions of players' names, emails, addresses, and passwords. I wonder if Baldwin got breached on that. I think he likes to play that game. Anyway, your info's out there. There's data breaches all the time. Criminals can open accounts, file tax returns, buy property, and more, all with your identity. You want to catch, but you can't catch them, man. You need help. You can monitor your credit, but you still can't stop these guys. That's where LifeLock comes in. They detect a wide range of identity threats, and they'll look after you. They're the best. They're LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one prevents all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses. Join LifeLock now and get an extra 10% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off.
10 years ago, one man set sail.
But I'm going to get guests in here. I'll get a studio, and we will create something together.
One man with a microphone in hand. Ranted.
No nailing schedule, no inspector, no nothing. Now,
nothing!
Nothing!
Debated.
I don't want to have a sociological debate.
Sure, why would you?
No, here's why.
Why would you want to do that? Because a person from the Times wouldn't write good things about you if
God,
you did that.
No, that's not the case.
And taught the world how to properly measure a penis.
From the center of the anus to just beyond the tip.
Now, it's time to commemorate a decade. Introducing the official 10 Years of ACS Scrapbook. Featuring never-before-seen photos and stories from behind the scenes at ACS, the early days of the podcast, and favorite memories from all your favorite guests. Signed by the entire ACS crew and every host on the network, this $99 scrapbook is limited to only 300 copies. Head to CorollaDrinks.com today to get a copy of your own or a gift for the holidays. Hurry, we will sell out.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, the Los Angeles Angels could be fined up to $2 million for not reporting Tyler Skaggs' opioid use. A report published by ESPN on Saturday stated that Angels Communications Director Eric Kay admitted to federal investigators that he used and supplied Skaggs with drugs since at least 2017.
I know him as Special K, but yeah, he doesn't like me using his real name.
For ketamine. Mm-hmm. Kay told federal investigators that at least two other Angel employees knew of Skaggs' drug use. Team officials are supposed to report to the commissioner's office any knowledge of players using drugs. The commissioner could fine the team $2 million for a failure to report and could ban any employee for life. In a statement issued Saturday, the Angels denied any knowledge of Skaggs' drug use. A little confusing.
Didn't the guy just say he knew?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, when 26-and-a-half-year-old guys just kind of die in their hotel rooms.
Thumbs up.
Usually, mysteriously.
Usually a little drug use. I had a funny thought, which is I was always laughing about, I don't know who I was talking to. I was talking to Dr. Drew about like 1 in 5 colleges. Statistically, a woman's going to be sexually assaulted. And it was sort of like, okay, so why is everyone saving up for college? If that statistic is true. And then Drew informed me it's now 1 in 4.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So
University of Phoenix online.
Yeah. But I then heard that USC is 1 in 3.
1 in 3 women at USC?
They had a higher...
Oh, that is shocking.
Yeah, actually, yeah, there was Berkeley, USC, and somewhere else in California. Some very progressive schools.
Yes. But now, keep in mind, it's because we've changed the definition of sexual assault. It's not that there's more of this. It's that we're calling it something other and collecting this. But then I thought, Lori Loughlin's going to prison and Felicity Huffman's in jail to save up to get their kids over to the rape factory. So maybe there's not as much of it as they're reporting. I don't know.
But I would love for that to be true.
Seems weird that they're people are waiting in line and paying people $500,000 to send their hot daughters to go get assaulted.
Yeah. General Motors and the United Auto Workers Union have reached a tentative agreement on a new contract, putting an end to a month-long strike that affected almost 50,000 workers. Workers walked off the job on September 16th after their four-year contract expired without a new one in place. Workers demanded higher wages, more affordable health care, a share of profits, job security. Details of the new deal have not been revealed to anyone, but a union spokesperson says it represents major gains for UAW workers. This strike was cost. Would you like to guess how much this was costing GM a day?
Oh God!
A day.
I was just, couple things. Think about, we're talking about like automation. You know, when you're a fabricator, you're a welder, and you really can handle a MIG or a TIG or whatever it is, a lot of skill there, and hard to be replaced by a scab or whomever. Now you think about an automotive worker these days, kind of a little bit like aliens, piloting a robot, so to speak, working a robot, like much more replaceable than the guy who was building the engines by hand in the 40s and the 50s, a super high machinist sort of skill level, working a machinist lathe down to millimeters or tenths of millimeters. So it seems like even the people that are working in the factories are kind of replaceable now because they're keeping automation work. They're babysitting a lot of technology. Yeah. And I know it's more than that, but I mean, as we keep going, it's not only do we not need the welder, but the guy who's watching the welding machine could be replaced pretty easily.
Yeah. But for today, they are hemorrhaging money without these employees.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine.
$400 million a day. That's what this report says.
Gotta sell my stock. It's crazy. It's also kind of weird that people are still just stamping out steel cars and rolling them down an assembly line. And it is
kind of crazy.
Essentially, it's an internal combustion engine. A gas goes in and there's a spark plug and there's a piston and a rod. Like it's ostensibly, it's got Bluetooth now, but it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same technology.
No, it's the Model T. So remember what I told you?
Wait, were you talking about major gains? You're saying that
he was
union,
in Full Metal Jacket.
No, I was thinking it was a Garth Brooks alter ego.
Oh, yeah.
Major Gaines is going to come out and sing a song on SNL.
Chris Gaines goes to the military.
That's right.
Sorry.
So remember when I told you that Eddie Van Halen has a theory about how he got cancer?
Yeah, the metal guitar picks in his mouth.
And we're all, Dr. Van Halen has spoken, and that's that. Well, a doctor is refuting that. I don't know if you're surprised to hear it, that he developed cancer after keeping that guitar pick in his mouth during shows. The guitarist was treated, as I said, for tongue cancer in 2000. A third of his tongue was removed. He was declared cancer-free in 2002, but he's still going back and forth, it seems, to Germany for radiation. In 2015, in an interview with Billboard, Van Halen revealed that he had given up smoking cigarettes, but he does blame the guitar picks. So Dr. Tom Micklewright, the medical officer at the British Medical Consultation Service called Push Doctor, he told Insider that Van Halen's health issues were likely not caused by a guitar pick. In an interview published Monday, he cited the fact that neither copper nor the metals found in brass are considered carcinogenic in any way.
Mm, maybe it was that Makita cordless drill he was using.
Pound cake.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
You know what's funny about that video? It's like he just took a 9.6 volt.
Get the video, pound cake.
First, he took the first gen cordless drill. Mm. Makita made the first ones, and they wrapped it up with tape and then just painted it silver or something, then pulled the tape off. But to this young carpenter and rocker, I knew what I was looking at. Yeah, he was taking his cordless drill to his electric guitar. We've talked about it before, but it's weird that it's sad that so many talented people have to be head cases as well.
Kind of goes hand in hand almost.
Yeah.
Gets the creative juices flowing.
I guess. And just always makes you wonder, like, oh, what if? What if that person was just a regular dude who wanted to work? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Together.
Like, one, they just semi-sober and wanted to go out and do dates. And
well, I think that's the problem with a lot of artistic people, a lot of artistic successful people. They think if they get help, they won't be them anymore. They won't be the person that got them famous, which in a lot of ways is ridiculous, but it's hard to let go of that idea. If I get on the right meds or if I stop drinking, I won't be fun. I won't be creative. I won't be funny.
Well, think about how much product.
No.
Think about
it's not that funny.
How much product Bruce Springsteen has put out.
When
I'm just saying use the word product because I'm saying recordings, right. Concerts.
Live bootlegs.
Tours.
Tours. Just through being healthy and keeping after himself and whatever and just cranking it out. Max Pat, I don't know if Bruce must be playing Kimmel's or something. I think Kimmel's going to New York and Bruce is going there because all I know is an Italian Lynette are heading to New York.
Bruce is going to be in New York. I heard Lynette say that already.
Who else do we know? I wonder who else is on the marquee that week.
I don't know. I know Kimmel's. I don't know if that's the week Kimmel's in Brooklyn, but I know he's going to Brooklyn in the next week or so. So
I think Kimmel's going to Brooklyn and Bruce is going to be there and Italian Lynette are going to see Bruce.
But oh, are they?
I'm a little behind because it's always like, we're going to go see Uncle Jimmy and
Uncle Bruce
and whatever. And I'm like, you are? And it's like, it takes a couple days of me going, what? Why are you going to? Oh, Bruce. But
I got the lineup here. So guests for the week, which is next week, Kimmel's in Brooklyn, Eddie Murphy, Bruce Springsteen, Alicia Keys, Benedict Cumberbatch, Kelly Ripa, Bernie Sanders, Ellie Kemper, John Krasinski, and then David Byrne, The National, Paul Schaefer, Sugar Hill
Gang. Wow.
A lot.
It's a lot of range.
Locked and loaded. Well, I'll have to tell Natalia, David Byrne's going to be there. So
is he wearing his huge suit?
Is it teal?
So we got that going for us. But imagine, think about if Bruce had OD'd at 31. You know, I mean, just think about all the product and think about when's the last time you saw Eddie Van Halen up on stage doing his thing or whatever. I don't keep track of everybody, but think about if you're committed to your art and you're sober-ish, think how much product comes out the other end. All right, let me hit Zorro, Zorro.com. Find everything for your business, any size, in almost any industry. Tools and equipment, safety, office cleaning supplies, and more. Tons of stuff for electrical, plumbing, contracting. If you have a business, get signed up with Zorro. Or if you just want good products that you need around the house, delivered to your home, go with Zorro.com. Brands you know and trust, Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Rubbermaid, just to name a few. Amazing customer service from real people based in the U.S. of A. Fast free shipping on orders of $50 or more, so load up and get free shipping. Visit Zorro.com/M to sign up for your Zmail and get 15% off your first order. We use them here because I have a small business. That's Zorro.com/Adam and get that 15% off. All right.
Well, the other day we showed a video of a hotel clerk grabbing the gun and scaring off this meth head, and it was awesome. We have another hero today, a real live hero. A Boston man disarmed a robber on a train in Chicago on Sunday before running in the city's Chicago Marathon. And I'll just play the clip while I tell you the story. 54-year-old Jean-Paul LaPierre was on the train when he stepped off and asked another commuter why people were rushing to the door. He said there was another man in there robbing commuters. So you can see in this video right now, he's trying to get him to the ground. He already took his gun. The video sort of captured this incident. They're struggling, but this Jean LaPierre is not letting this dude go. Apparently, he's a boxer, which helped. The alleged robber, Tremaine Anderson, has a long history of prior arrests. And after the incident, LaPierre, there's two great things about this. LaPierre said he ran his 12th Chicago Marathon, adding that he ran it as a bandit, someone who doesn't register for marathons.
Wow.
So he's just like this uncaped, unmasked superhero.
Urban superhero.
Vigilante. I
love it.
Damn.
Speaking of black folk, we find any A and B pictures? Frederick Douglass and...
Okay. You might have a point.
What's that quarterback's name again, Veronica?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Yeah, there you go. It's a good shot. Good hair shot. Although he had a part, but reminiscent.
Well, it was a fancy day. It was picture day.
Yeah. All right.
So we've been talking a lot about schools. California's governor has given middle school and high school students permission to sleep a little later. Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation on Sunday that will change the start times for middle schools and high schools. Under the new law, it'll be phased in over the next 3 years. Middle school can't start before 8, and high schools can't start before 8:30. Newsom said in a statement, the science shows that teenage students who start their day later increases their academic performance, attendance, and overall health. Not everyone in favor of this. Former Governor Jerry Brown vetoed this, saying the state school board and teachers union didn't like it.
Well, they didn't want to stay later.
Probably. Stay on the schedule.
The dealio is kids need to sleep. Like, kids need certain things. And in certain cycles of adolescence, you just need it. Yep. It's, I don't know, it's like you need fat, kids need carbs. You know, there's just stuff kids need that the teachers don't need. And there's a lot of 51-year-old shop teachers and 47-year-old science teachers who like getting up early and like getting out and probably like missing the traffic commute and like the idea of punching out. I mean, think about it. Think about a job. You just punch out at 3:06 or whatever it is. And, so I get it. They're on a different cycle, essentially. They're on a sort of adult or middle age or older middle age cycle, which tends to get up earlier.
And go to sleep earlier.
Yeah, but
kids
have a lot of trouble with that, and it's smart to do it. It's smart just to look at the science.
I'm sure you guys will remember this feeling. I could never in high school or middle school too, I could never go to sleep before 11:30. My brain was just on. I was a night owl.
Yeah.
And I would every morning I would feel nauseous waking up. Like, it just nauseous at, 6:45, 6:30?
Well, you know they're doing all those things, and I think this is part of it, 23andMe or whatever, all that stuff, where they go, caffeine affects you in a much different way than it affects some people, or alcohol, or this is why you're allergic to paprika, or whatever. I mean, there's a science to it, people have totally different rhythms. We're not all the same. It's Dr. Bruce came in here, the sleep doctor, and told us about. And in a way, and I don't know how you do it, but in a way, my kids, when they were in grade school, had the early birds and the late birds or something. It's like they staggered it. Like
sometimes in kindergarten.
School started. This went through like grade 5 or 6 or something.
Wow.
But it was like you'd show up at 8:00 or you'd show up at 9:00 or whatever that was.
Cool.
When they really start getting the science down and start figuring out that you're wired as a night owl, bringing you in at 7:45 is debilitating. It's soul crushing. And by the way, you can't learn because your rhythm is all whacked out.
You shouldn't survive.
And, I was the same way. Like, I was always a night guy. And then I got into construction. We had to be on the job site at 6:55 every morning. It was like, and it crushed me. Like, I hated it.
Don't get me wrong. The morning show knocked that out of me. But just growing up, it was very jarring.
Right. So, it'd be good to figure that out. And if you were, in fact, one of those super obnoxious morning people, you could come in earlier. But he's right. Push it back. And, tough shit, teachers.
Well, it's not even worth playing Germany or Florida here because this guy is so clearly Florida, it wouldn't even be a fair fight. So 20-year-old Austin Davis has an addiction to macaroni and cheese, specifically Velveeta shells and cheese.
He's like my daughter.
I was going to say, how can I craft this? He loves craft. How could he eats pasta? It's not worth it. He's a mac and cheese addict. He's from Florida. Nearly 17 years. Remember, he's 20. For nearly 17 years, he's eaten nothing but macaroni and cheese for every single meal. According to the therapist, Asley McCann, Davis has a selective eating disorder known as avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. It's a mental condition where new foods trigger negative physical reactions. It says it's usually linked to traumatic events and PTSD in childhood. This kid was removed from his home very early and went to
beaten with a baguette.
Yeah.
So actually, Vice, you know how they do these little features on people? They did one on him. Here's just the very beginning of it.
Like walking into here, there's nothing in here that's like, oh yeah, I might want to try that. I've tried celery. I threw that shit up instantly. I don't want to say I'm addicted to mac and cheese, but because it sounds so weird, but like my body won't let me eat anything else.
Right. But hold on. I could force him to eat something else pretty easily. All he's got to do is fucking go to prison and go, no mac and cheese. You get shit on a shingle.
Yeah.
And he'd eat it.
Go on a hunger strike.
At a certain point, you're hungry enough.
Listen, I learned a very valuable lesson when Dr. Drew was having a panic attack in 1998. And I walked into his dressing room and I yelled at him to get his fucking pussy ass back out on stage. And he stood up and walked back on stage and sat down. And I said, I'll do the driving. Now sit there and shut up. And I said, roll it. Yeah. Start rolling that show. And he was absolutely fine.
It's so funny and great that worked, because that is the biggest fear of somebody having a panic attack. Somebody's going to just start yelling in their face to get back out there.
He was cured in 4 minutes. He literally, he sat there like a little out of it for like a couple of beats. And then a call came in and he just like jumped into it. And the oh my God makes it all worse. So everybody with your fucking dog or your mac and cheese addiction or your travel with your pooch, knock it the fuck off. It's our job to tell you to knock it the fuck off. Let me explain what's cruel. Letting you eat mac and cheese for the rest of your life. That's cruel. Kicking you in the ass and telling you to get your fucking shit together. That's what Gunny would do.
Yeah.
It's very effective. A 3-year-old is, that's what's for dinner.
Yeah. That's what's for dinner.
That's what I'm offering you. That's what we're offering tonight.
And here's the deal. If you're hungry, you'll eat. And if you don't eat, then you're still fine.
Mm-hmm. It's choice.
Like still be fine.
That's the whole thing. Like, the most arguments I ever got into with Lynette is like, oh, they don't want chicken. They want pizza. I go,
who doesn't want pizza?
I want pizza too, but it's chicken and that's it. And they're like, well, but they're not going to eat. And it's like, they will. Or they won't. Like, it's like they'll get hungry and they'll come in and do something. Yeah. Or they won't. But that's what's on the...
That's the menu.
And then I'd hear the doorbell ring. And then the Domino's guy would be standing there. And I'd go, what? All right.
So a Brooklyn-based company created a $1,425 customized Nike called Jesus Shoes. And they sold out in 1 minute. The sneakers are a pair, looking at them right now, they're a pair of Nike Air Max 97s injected with holy water derived from the Jordan River and like adorned with a steel crucifix.
I like that.
Yeah, fortunately, the head of the company has a friend living in Israel who agreed to sort of mule a gallon of water from the Jordan River. And then they got a priest to baptize the water and bless it and make it official. So the price is a play on Matthew 14:25, which describes Jesus walking on water. And they sold out in 1 minute.
I was thinking about Matthew Modine and his dad going, I don't want to put your name on the drive-in. It's like, if I see a movie and at a drive-in and it says starring Tom Cruise, like, Tom Cruise's dad must own that place.
who does he know?
I would just assume if I was like on the freeway that Tom Cruise was in the movie.
It's his vehicle.
And assume. You guys ever seen a name on a marquee and assume that guy's dad owned?
What's up?
Yeah. Probably could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
You know, there would have been a couple of townies. A couple of townies that knew, but
you,
I think he could have gotten away with it.
Overall,
I think he could have made it to his car without being pelted with produce.
You got to respect it, though. That's old school.
I would also say, okay, so the townies that think he's being self-aggrandizing, he does beat them on a technicality.
Because
his son is in the movie. Yes?
Yeah.
All right. It's been stuck in my craw.
Yeah.
I didn't want to besmirch the man's memory, but I'm saying, like, come on, your dad could have done that.
It does leave some questions.
Does make me wonder how many drive-ins I've passed and seen a star's name and wondered,
how'd that get up there?
Did a parent own that place?
Will Smith's dad owns the movie.
That's right. All right, so wait. Shoes. Here's the thing. I think this is the new windfall for Nike or Aston Martin or Ferrari or whatever. How much are the shoes?
$1,425.
Right. And they sell out, yeah. Right? Right.
Now, just to be clear, though, I don't think Nike technically is affiliated. They're a recustomized Nike.
Okay. But that being said, there is such a market and an aftermarket mm-hmm. for this stuff now. There's the whole sneaker folks that collect and they're nuts and they'll pay and the whatever. That, again, if you're Ferrari and you're going to have a, oh, I guess I was talking to the guys from, Bugatti. And Bugatti had a car and they're like, we're just making 11 of these or 9 of these. And I'm like, how much? They're like, $9 million a pop. And I'm like, $9 million a pop? And they're like, they're all sold out. And it's like, because if you can get that thing, it's going to be worth 20.
Yeah.
And we're kind of in that. We got a little of that with sneakers. We got that with cars. There's a version of that with probably watches and
the
stuff.
Market
that
for everything.
People will pay whatever because they will double that cash.
If it's exclusive, too. You know what
right.
I mean? Like if the image of exclusivity is up there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sorry, what are we looking at? I don't know. Oh, just another picture.
These are they're up for auction. Or people can bid for them now. And there's some that are for $5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah. All right.
My God.
Yeah. Oh, you just flip them. Yeah.
No.
Well, it's like the Ford GT, John Cena famously got into trouble for selling his. He had to write them a soliloquy about why you deserve to drive this car and then how you're not going to sell it for 2 years. It's been 2 years. A lot of people that paid $675,000-$700,000, they can sell theirs for $1.7 now. It's not bad making $1 million for
good ROI.
A couple of years of looking at a car in a garage and telling your buddies about it, right?
Yeah. Off.
Mm-hmm. I think. Max, you can see the last one that sold at auction where there's one coming up, too. But I think they're in that range. It can't be a charity car, Max Pat, otherwise it doesn't count. Sorry.
Pest controllers are warning that millions of super-sized, disease-ridden rats are scurrying into houses in the UK. And there's a very good reason for that. This might be a good ace on the roof.
Mm.
They're gnawing through plastic drain pipes as temperatures plummet. So when traditionally drain pipes are cast iron and most modern drain pipes are plastic, so pests couldn't gnaw through old school drain pipes. But now they're gnawing through everything. They have razor sharp teeth. They have razor sharp claws. They can gnaw and crawl. Although they normally live underground, rats do go in search of food and warmth, especially this time of year, especially in the UK. The houses are at risk of invasion because they say it's the coldest winter in 30 years.
Old drain pipes were cast iron.
Yeah.
I mean, thick wall cast iron, heavy. They put them together. It fit them, like had a male and a female in with like lead and horsehair. Literally. And it would last for 2 billion years.
Yeah.
And
now that things are being updated.
Now
everything
is PVC and ABS, which is just plastic.
Right.
And it's a lot cheaper and a lot faster and a lot lighter and a lot everything. And a rat can go right through the ABS or the PVC quite easily.
This is nightmare fuel because they are apparently in the UK gnawing through the pipes and coming up the toilet. According to a pest control manager, he says not only are there increased numbers of rats, the rodents are much bigger this year due to phenomenal amounts of food waste and less frequent trash collection. These rats are over 20 inches long, like the size of a cat.
Well, these are all what we always say, unintended consequences. You have all this Grubhub and all this, we'll bring it to your house, and everyone's kind of fat, lethargic, and they eat half the pizza and they chuck, you know. I mean, it's so interesting, like the mindset. Like you'll see, I'll walk into the kitchen at 9:30 at night. Olga has a chicken breast and she's using her fingers and she's picking off every piece of skin and gristle and tendon and meat and everything. She's putting it in a Ziploc bag and she's like, this is for Phil. You know, he gets him to eat his medicine or whatever.
Yep.
Phil's not in the kitchen. He's out on the border. He's outskirts.
Better.
He doesn't go in. He's going to get kicked in the ribs. But he's watching and she's pulling every piece of protein off of this bone and then throwing the bone away. I feel like the cheaper the food gets, the more checked out we are staring at our smartphones, it comes so easily. So obviously the Indians using every part of the buffalo because they didn't have fucking Grubhub. If a Grubhub brought a buffalo to the teepee, they wouldn't eat every part of the buffalo. But they had to fucking go on a 100-mile, 3-day ride to chase down the buffalo and then risk their life to get the buffalo. And now they're going to eat every part of the buffalo. But my kids don't eat every part of the Shake Shack that comes to their fucking house because it's free and a loser brought them their food. So how do you instill that? Oh, don't throw away that crust or that bread or that bun or that's, and they're like, I'm done. You know, and I'm like, okay. And then that waste goes out and
start hunting buffalo.
If you're a rat, these are salad days. I don't mean no salad in the salad days, but I mean, you got a lot of half eaten Chick-fil-A and all kind of stuff, and you back out the cootie factor and all you got is a bunch of Chick-fil-A in the garbage.
Rats are in.
And apparently rats are like very, very, like they get dehydrated easy. They're always looking for a water source, hence why you find them crawling up your toilet.
All right, let's do one more.
Okay. Well, this is a horrible pivot, but because you talked about Grubhub and fat and lethargic people, the McRib is back. A long-standing favorite sandwich. It's officially back in 1,000 McDonald's across the country. Two states aren't serving it up, Connecticut and New York. You can't find it. But in order to help customers locate the nearest McRib, McDonald's has rolled out a McFinder, where customers can enter their zip code and find the closest location that'll give them a McRib.
Or you can just tail that fat ass.
You get there eventually. What's the obsession?
Have you ever had one?
I assume it's the sweet, tangy sauce.
The
meat's just kind of pressed meat, right?
But if they had it every day, no one would care. It's more. It seems like a novelty item.
Oh, the exclusivity again. Back to then.
It's like the
shamrock
spice.
Shake. Yeah, right.
There's one. All right. I'm going to be careful how I phrase this, but there's one positive thing I learned from my family.
Okay.
Short book.
It's a pamphlet.
I don't even know if I should. The processed junk was just that.
Yeah.
Like kind of always. Sunny D, American cheese slices. Yeah.
Liquid cheese.
Even the Salisbury steak or even the McRib or even like the McNuggets.
Yeah.
It felt weird to me when I was 10. Like I was like, why not some real chicken? And why not? Let's get some orange juice and get some sharp cheddar up in here. We don't need. And my family was very much like, yeah, that's junk. Why would you want to eat that? They didn't provide an alternative, but at least they told me what not to eat.
Yeah.
And I was like, and my grandpa would make a big kettle of goulash. And I was like, this is food. It's not a bunch of put together parts and beaks and wings like pressed together and stuff. And so my whole life, all the synthesized stuff, it wasn't like, is it sweet or is it savory? Like chocolate milk was fine, but weird powdered stuff with water and stuff. It always felt, A, not nutritious, but B, not that satisfying.
Yeah.
Like not very good.
That horrible Swiss Miss with the powder and the hot water.
Yes. Like the notion of, you want some hot chocolate? Good. Get some tap water. Yep. Fill up your mug. I was like, no, I'm out. I want chocolate milk. I want hot cocoa, you know, and everything synthesized felt weird. It's always felt weird. And in a world where real ribs exist.
They still exist.
And real cheese exists and orange juice exists. And
chicken fingers or whatever.
I was like, have a root beer, but the Sunny D felt weird to me. Yeah. And a lot of the punches and all that stuff. It all feels weird. I'm surprised at how many people are sort of into it, right?
Because
It feels lose-lose to me, right? It feels like super unhealthy, meat's not nearly satisfying or whatever.
Well, yeah.
And with a little gross-out factor.
Yeah.
Like, what's in this thing?
And I think, like, in the 80s and stuff, you know, we were a Snackables and Diet Right family. And I think, you know, we didn't have the knowledge. And now everyone is so coached up. I mean, ButcherBox, like, that is a household name. Everybody knows that you can get that stuff sent to you. So we don't have a lack of knowledge to fall back on.
And then a Trader Joe's world where the food at Trader Joe's is the same price as the cheap stuff at McDonald's or wherever. Why? What are you doing? What are you gaining?
I wish, and I completely and utterly agree. Like, just go to Trader Joe's, get some meat, get some cheese, and enjoy it. It's still weird though when we keep having this conversation where you hear like De Blasio's like meatless Mondays, and he's like, "What's wrong with the kids being healthy, having a little pizza and a dinner roll instead of having this meat all the time?" You know, and it's like, I don't know why. why isn't this science a little more settled?
Right.
Shouldn't it be just a little more settled? Everyone you know who switched away from the carbs and over to the protein, dropped a bunch of pounds, had a bunch of energy. Ironically, cholesterol went down as well. And for some people, they stopped having seizures and things of that nature. Why are politicians still just talking this way? And how come we won't get it? And why not just spread it?
Big bread.
I think it is. I think the problem was the meat is murder became a movement. The don't eat meat became a movement. To my mom, it was not a steak versus pizza or pasta. Mm-hmm. It was pasta versus evil.
Right.
And so now that we've proven that the evil's actually better for you than the pasta, but it's still evil.
Yeah.
And when you take this and you make things into a movement instead of just what they are, you know what I mean? What's going to be here? Started talking about school vouchers. Do they work or don't they work? Yes, they do work. Okay, then we should have school vouchers. No, but we turned it into something else. And whenever you turn something into something else, now you can't beat it.
Right.
All the discussions from Vinny are not going to fix evil.
Mm-mm.
Meat is murder. And that's kind of where we're at. And this is kind of a weird place to be at. It's not a good way to run a house or society or neighborhood. Hey, Gavin Newsom, if kids do better because they sleep later and they want to come in with their rhythm at 9 a.m. instead of 8 a.m., good. Now let's look at vouchers.
Right.
Yeah.
It was the exact same thing. Just get a group of people, figure it out, and then you'll be for it if it's good for the kids.
Are we still worried about kids?
Right. Yes. Let's just be consistent and not be insanely against vouchers. All right. I'll get into more of that. What? All right. Sorry, MaxPad. Were you looking up some stuff? Did you find anything, or we just do it tomorrow?
We could do it tomorrow. I have the Ford GT auction. I mean, not the auction.
What was that?
So last week, $1.54 million in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, you know why people were writing letters going, "Dear Etzel, this is why I deserve to give you $678,000 for your vehicle." Because I shall make $1 million on this in 2 years.
I don't think that's what they should put.
I recommend leaving that last line out of the letter to Edsel. The letter's compelling. Don't get me wrong. You make a paint a great portrait of why you deserve this.
Is there more than one Edsel? Like Edsel Jr.?
There's a Henry Ford. There's a Henry Ford II. Right. I don't know if there's an Edsel. There's a Henry Ford III. Wait.
There's a Henry Ford III.
I've interviewed him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He's in our 24-hour doc. The good news is our stuff, the 24-hour war and Uppity and the Shelby doc is now pretty – I don't know if we're done with the Netflix deal, but based on – Ford v. Ferrari, people are now having a renewed interest.
You don't say.
In our work. I'm now seeing those. I think there was an extended dance version of that on the Democratic debate. Ford v. Ferrari. Oh. There was a long thing.
I've seen the full trailer, the new trailer, by the way, before a couple of movies.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
It's not the first
trailer with the kid. It's just the new trailer.
The track.
There's an Edsel Ford II, great-grandson of Henry Ford. The thing about the Fords and the Shelbys, the remaining ones, the children, the grandkids, and the very affable, friendly folk. Interviewed them and spoke to them quite a bit. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
What an asshole.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save a bunch of money on your auto insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that money and get yourself a Ford GT, sit on it for a couple of years, and hammer that baby.
You know the drill.
Put 8 or 9 large into your pocket. Extra money, put it in your pocket, be the most rewarding thing you do all day at Geico. That is geico.com. No Safe Space is coming up soon. Go to nosafespace.com and go to my stand-up channel, YouTube.com/AdamCarolla. Laughs with Bald Brian. Yeah. Coming up, couple tickets left. That's the 2nd of November.
November 2nd.
November 2nd. Everybody's going to be there. We'll talk more about one of Brian's charities tomorrow. Yeah. Not Taco Bell material, my stand-up special available now, Chassis and Amazon and Apple. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Matthew Modine and RJ Bell and Gina Grand Ball. Brian, say it. Mahalo.
You're the kind of guy that fuck a guy in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla are coming up with Good Sports right after this.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new edition of Hot Sports Talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, college football. It's another weekend here. Obviously, pro football as well. A couple of college-based issues I'm curious about with you. First of all, I'm sure you've already weighed in on this, but California now is intent on letting players make money. If they can, you know, if they can do endorsements, they're allowed to do them. Where do you come down on college football players making, or college basketball players? I guess those are the two sports where you would viably make money, not the other ones. But where do you come down on it?
You know, I'm pretty pro-capitalism, and I'm sort of like, look, if they're bringing in money, let them make money. But I got to tell you, recently, especially after listening to Whitlock's hot take on it and China and Nike and all these big evil corporations who are all about good vibes, but they're really about, you know, the bottom line and turning profits and stuff. Now kind of worry about this sort of insidious nature of shoe companies getting in with guys and how that all sort of pans out more globally than sort of locally. Like, you know, the guy at Cal Poly Pomona makes an extra couple of bucks, you know, with a sneaker endorsement. I'm fine. The older I get, the more I get into this kind of slippery slope thing and kind of wondering, it sounds, so at first blush, it sounds like what could, yeah, fine. But in a world where everything ends up turning to shit, it makes me worry a little bit. On the other hand, they're poor kids. They're making money for the college and as it stands, you know, like when the kids get put on probation because they gave their tickets away to the booster club or something. I mean, obviously, all that stuff is nuts. You know, he took a free meal from a booster or whatever. And now
those are the best. Probation. Can you imagine being a grown-up announcing that? Where's your dignity, man?
Right.
It's your job to announce that you're suspending a kid over that?
Especially
while you go out for surf and turf tonight?
Yeah, especially where they come from, when they come from the poverty that a lot of them come from. I'm talking about the kickers. So not everyone knows as much about football as we do, so I have to kind of spell it out. But I'm saying, in general, I'm fine with it.
I hear you, and I think it is. This is what people do. It's a remarkable human trait. And I say in the 21st century, we're all kind of narcissists, and we've all been enabled based on the structure that exists now to think about ourselves first, and it's allowed. And I think it has greased the skids for this argument that is completely a rationalization that boils down to, I don't want those guys to get paid because it will be jarring to me as I know college football. College football will change, ergo, that doesn't appeal to me because I don't know what it's going to look like, so I don't want it to happen. It'd be bad. Well, that's going to throw everything out of whack. Then these go, but how? What's it going to do? I don't know. Conferences are going to get screwed up, and the powerhouse teams aren't going to be able to regret. Like, all right, that's a you problem, isn't it? It has nothing to do with the reality of it. We used to be the Pac-8, then it became the Pac-10. Now it's the Pac-12. Has your life changed because they altered it? People 10 years ago thought that it would. How you catch too many? How are we going to? Things are going to crumble.
Yeah, I remember my grandpa. Same thing, talking about the two drinking fountains. But it turned out fine.
The kicker? He didn't want the kicker to have his own water fountain?
Oh, no, this is a social thing. Oh. It's not a sports thing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he was pretty upset. And I just said, Papa, it'll pass, you know. And it was slow, but it passed.
It did? It all worked out?
It all worked out. Yeah. Big picture, yeah, I'd say the jury's back and they've rendered a decision and it turned out
fine. I just think it's loco. It is really. It is borderline. I hate when people say criminal, but it is borderline criminal that people make the amounts of money that these schools make off of the guys playing the games who are intentionally running themselves into other human beings at full speed and they don't get compensated for it. And people are like, hey, they're getting an education.
Yeah. Right. Where are you on like the whole Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin thing? Like,
well, I'm leading in
because you're talking about like the people that are outraged that it goes from the Pac-8 to the 10 to the 12. Yeah. I feel the same way about super rich people in USC and their starlet daughters. Like no interest in. There's not like the people really get involved. It's like they need to be punished. We need examples that I'm like, or not. I don't care.
It is. I tread lightly. I don't like to engage in the politics and all that, but it is kind of like the Hunter Biden thing. Like, wait, are we surprised that that powerful people, that their kids get benefits that the rest of us don't? I mean, it would be better if that weren't the case, but is this a revelation that rich kids make out better than the rest of the world does?
I can't think of who it is, Gary. I told my expat to look for it. Maybe it is. But, I mean, there's some senator or congressman or whatever. All four of his kids went to Harvard. That's a coincidence?
I don't want to get into the whole thing, and I don't need your tweets. I understand the story, and I'm not leaning in either direction. I'm just saying...
Well, this is how it's supposed to work.
Don't the Trump kids also?
Yeah,
haven't they benefited?
That's what happens when you get rich.
I it's weird to me, but it does. I'm glad you brought that up because I did mean to ask you that several weeks ago. Would Adam Carolla do that for his twins? Where do you come down on that? What if? I don't even want to say Jimmy Kimmel because then it's calling him out. But say you have some equally affluent and powerful friend who's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing that for my kid. Yeah, I just gave $500,000 and to the school under some endowment thing. And in return, I'm getting my child into this school. How about you, Ace? You can do the same thing.
I have no interest in that. And the reason I have no interest in that is, A, I'm not that interested in college in the first place.
That's right.
Everybody I know is super successful. I really had this weird tenuous relationship.
It's weird
with college.
How big that percentage actually is with the super powerful creative people.
Yeah. Now I'm in a business that attracts those types. So I get it. It's a skewed population, but I'm not that interested in the college being the end all be all. And by the time my kids are ready for college in 5 years, I think it's going to drop off even more.
I agree.
I have, and also I don't get the part where we pack them up and ship them to the Boston area for when you have a smartphone with every piece of information in it you could possibly have. I'm fond of saying the only brick and mortar businesses in the future will be stores that sell brick and mortar.
I never heard that one, but I love it. That's right.
Because you can't really go online and buy brick and mortar. You need to actually, it weighs too much.
It is emerging as an artifice, this employer artifice, this thing of like, well, you got to come into the office. Like, why do I have to come into the office?
I feel that way about college in general. Also, I understand, and it's something, I don't want to get too philosophical, but the difference between earning a Rolls Royce and having your stepdad give you one when you're 19 is night and day. It's the difference between appreciating a Rolls Royce and treating it like it's some sort of vessel to carry your fast food wrappers. I mean, that's it. There is no happiness in that. The kids, that's why the kids of celebrities kill themselves all the time. Because when you get stuff handed, we're not meant for that. We're meant to earn. We're meant to want everything handed to us, but we're wired to earn. So the notion of like, I just paid the dean off and now you're on the crew team and you're going it. You are essentially buying a first class ticket to your son's misery.
All right, boy, that was a straw and inhales I think I've heard.
All right, let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you, Ad? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Save up for some legitimate college, not payola. Save that extra money at geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. It take that extra money, put it away for the college fund or buy some bricks and mortar and just build, turn your house into a fortress. It is Geico. That is geico.com.
Very nice, Ace. We'll be back with the Friday edition of Hot Sports Talk for you. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good
Sports. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 for tickets and info on everything, including the World Championship of Guacamole this Saturday in Glendale. Go to adamcarolla.com.